If you were to say, Dr. Leah, I want to have a baby. What are the first 6 things I should do? I would respond exactly as I do in today's podcast episode. I highlight the first 6 things I would tell a woman to do as soon as the idea of a baby has entered her mind. But even if you have been trying to conceive for a while, these still apply. There are so many important things to do along the preconception and fertility journey. However, I shared some big hitting ones, and I think you will really enjoy how practical they are. I also share the exciting news that my fertility formula course is finally open for enrollment, so you can finally get the in-depth support so many of you have been asking me for along your journey toward motherhood. Without further ado, let's get started. Welcome to Healthy as a Mother, the podcast for becoming and being a mother, with your co-hosts, Dr. Leah Gordon and Dr. Morgan McDermott, 2 naturopathic doctors who get it.
Each week, we teach you how to be the healthiest mother you can be, from fertility and preconception to pregnancy and birth prep, through postpartum and throughout motherhood, empowering you with the natural health guidance and education you're not getting elsewhere, so you can confidently navigate the broken system at large.
The real, the raw, the untalked about. And remember, this information is not intended to diagnose, treat, or manage any disease. Always consult with your doctor before making any changes.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We are talking about some 6 practical tips to begin with when you are trying to have a baby. So we're trying to keep it digestible for you. We know that there's a lot of different things that you could be doing, and we thank you for choosing listening to our podcast and our information because we feel like we're pretty good at it. This is your absolute top passion. And so for you to narrow it down to 6, I know is really difficult, and I can't wait to hear what you've chosen because I know that there's a million different angles we could take on it, but these are going to be the top sort of, if you were to shotgun tell somebody, these are the things you need to do. Let's walk through it because it can be at least the starting point if you're on your journey.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to talk about these 6 steps exactly like you said. If someone came up to me and was like, hey, I want to have a baby in the next few months, or we started trying, or, you know, I just got married and I'm thinking about having kids, what do you think I should do? And I would sit them down and I'd be like, listen, there's so much that you can do. It's overwhelming almost at a point of how much you can do and maybe should do. And how do we just get started? What are the first steps to get started? What are the heavy hitters, most important ones? And I'm going to be talking about them. And then I also want you guys to know that I have finally launched my fertility formula program. I have been building this for so many years. It's just been really hard being a mom and being a doctor and all of the things. But in that program, I dive super deep into all of the things that you can actually be doing in a really digestible and easy manner with step-by-step guides and all of that. So if you want to check it out at womanhoodwellness.com/fertility formula, it is finally open and the cart closes in about a week if you're listening to this podcast live. So basically, I'm going to tell you these 6 tips. We're going to keep this episode a little shorter than past ones just because we're trying to make things more accessible for you guys. And first tip, we're just going to dive right in. My first recommendation is to start eating a high quality, high protein breakfast. What this does is it helps to balance your blood sugar. And balanced blood sugar is one of the most important foundations to having balanced hormones, to having optimal egg health, to reducing inflammation and oxidation in the body that can harm your egg health and your fertility. It sets up your energy, your mood, your mental clarity, all to be ideal. That first meal that you eat is the pivotal moment for your entire day. And when you repeat that every day, it's the foundation for your whole month and your fertility journey. And it's such a beautiful practice to get into, not only to help your fertility, but also ongoing once you become pregnant and a mother. So my first tip is to focus on high quality protein and or high quality fat, making sure that those are in place. You can obviously have carbohydrates, fruits, vegetables, other things in your breakfast. But an example that I'll share with you is a lot of people wake up and make a fruit smoothie. Okay, or they have a bagel or a pastry with their coffee. These are all examples of what not to do because they're higher in carbs.
So yeah. Many people don't have any breakfast. They're just not hungry.
Or no breakfast at all. Right. So First eating is key. And when you have just high sugar and high carbs, it just spikes your insulin and your blood sugar and it causes a whole host of issues. So instead, choosing something like leftover dinner for breakfast, which is my favorite, or even the traditional high protein breakfast like eggs and bacon or sausage, or having, you know, if you're going to have a smoothie, make sure it has tons and tons of fat, like an entire avocado, like half a cup of almond butter or some other nut butter, plus like a collagen protein powder or plant-based powder. There has to be some fat and like a huge amount of fat and protein in there. My favorite is salmon for breakfast, but I eat a lot of leftover dinner. So just that's tip number one, having lots of fat and healthy protein at breakfast time.
And I just want to say about blood sugar and hormones specifically, if you have kind of wacky hormones, maybe you're coming off of birth control, maybe your hormones, you're not on birth control, but you're just, you know, that you have something kind of off, you have low progesterone, you have a short luteal phase, you have high estrogen, whatever. Insulin and the way that your blood sugar is regulated is inextricably linked to the cascade of the way that the hormones are made and set on a cycle. And it doesn't seem like it would be that big of a deal, but this is really, really a big deal. Also, we go all night long without eating, and to wake up and intermittent fasting is just not appropriate for reproductive age women, most of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe there's a few, but I would say across the board, if we had to make some kind of blanket statement, it would be that it's not appropriate. Mm-hmm. And that the best bet to do would be this, to wake up mm-hmm. and eat about 30 grams of protein in your breakfast. And mm-hmm. I get it. If you're not hungry, you're probably already hypoglycemic, and that's why you don't feel hungry. Hypoglycemic mm-hmm. meaning you're low blood sugar to begin with. But I remember really, really clearly my first experience with a naturopathic doctor that I went to in college after I got off of birth control and I had this very odd acne going on, was the only thing that she did, she focused everything around my blood sugar regulation. Mm-hmm. And my acne mm-hmm. went away in like 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. It was crazy. I will never forget that, because I was like, okay, kind of like, yeah, lady, like, let's, all right, fine, we can work on this and let's work on some other stuff. But, you know, I was in college, I didn't have good habits, and we did that and it just all fell into place. And it has been like an embodied experience I'll never forget. Mm-hmm. We, especially when you're pregnant, you cannot wake up and not eat. So you might as well mm-hmm. start practicing right now. Also, when you're with kids and you're trying to do the day and stuff, this is one of those habits that you can control that really can give you energy and make you feel good and balance your mood and all sorts of different things that. So in general, like, yes, for your fertility, you should, but this is also a life skill that's going to benefit you for the next coming, like, chunk of the next 20 years, you know, as you're raising.
Yeah, I think it's like one of the most important life skills anyone would ever learn.
Yeah. And it's really hard for people who didn't grow up with this. You know, we mm-hmm. grew up, you and I, well, actually, I don't know about you, but I grew up eating like Cheerios or Fruit Loops and being hungry all day. And mm-hmm. having to eat constantly all day long, especially if you're somebody who maybe struggles with weight or mm-hmm. appetite issues. I know it feels really counterintuitive, but if you wake up and eat a big, mm-hmm. hefty breakfast, you will yep. probably eat much less in the day total than you would normally. So
I just 100%. Yeah, I love that. All right. Tip number two is to start taking a high quality prenatal vitamin. And there are a lot of different nutrients that I recommend women take from a supplementation perspective, but to avoid overwhelm, the first and most important one is a prenatal. And a prenatal is going to have the vitamins and minerals that you need to have on board before you even get pregnant. This is important because you need all of these key nutrients. And obviously, we are food first people. We are diet first. And I know the reality. I am an excellent eater. Mm-hmm. I eat insanely well and I have help making food, and I still can't get all of the every single things that I need, the 15 servings of vegetables and the amounts of like 20 grams of fat and having, you know, this amount of vitamin A and this amount of folate and this amount of zinc and this amount of, I mean, it's impossible. It would be a full-time job to just ensure that everything is there in your diet. So we do the best we can. We eat as clean and whole food based as possible and with as much variety as possible. And the reality is, given our modern world, we need certain nutrients in excess or in addition to our diet, especially for fertility and becoming pregnant. There are a few key nutrients that when conception happens, the baby needs those nutrients before you even take a positive pregnancy test. Things like folate are already being pulled into the baby to build and grow their nervous system, their brain, and like their neural tube. And that development happens before you find out you're pregnant. So getting on a prenatal early not only ensures you have the nutrients that baby needs for the development at that time, but it also gives you the proper amount of nutrients to optimize your egg quality and your progesterone, which is needed to keep baby once you become pregnant. And I'm not a fan of bare minimum essential multivitamins or prenatals. I really love multivitamins that are dosed appropriately with a really high dosage for you and baby, and that are in the proper forms of the nutrients so you can actually absorb them and get them into your body. They're not cheap, full of fillers and ineffective ingredients. So that's one of my top recommendations. It's so easy to do, but the key is to choose a good brand.
And I think a lot of people erroneously think that they can kind of get away with something that's maybe cheaper. But what you're not realizing is that because there's no FDA regulation on supplements, you could literally be taking something that has almost no actual substance of what it says on the bottle that it should contain, yeah. Or it has very small amounts, or it's very inconsistent. You know, this is the problem with Rainbow Light or whatever that happened a couple of years ago. Rainbow Light also had really high, you know, poor quality testing for heavy metals and different things. And So it's up to you to do your due diligence. You cannot just pick anything off the shelf and know that it's going to do you well. Also, Do not wait until you are pregnant, Ideally. And that's kind of like a cultural faux pas that we haven't really pumped people up around. And I had a conversation with a really good friend about this recently. She was like, I don't need to take a prenatal right now. Like, we're not going to probably start for, you know, I don't know, 6 months or something. I was like, no, you do.
Exactly,
you absolutely do. This is Perfect. This is great. And ideally, what you and I say, we say at least 3 to 6 months Taking a prenatal before you do become pregnant. So
yes,
this is big.
Yeah, exactly. Because eggs develop for about 3 to 4 months before conception, and that's when those nutrients are needed. So it's not just once you become pregnant. It should not be called a prenatal, because prenatal implies that it's for just pregnancy, and it's not. So that's tip number two. Tip number three is to start tracking your cycle to ensure consistent ovulation. Now, you might already be doing this if you are someone who's maybe stopped birth control and you're using more natural methods. You might not. If you're currently on birth control, obviously getting off birth control first is ideal. And I definitely have support for you on that at my website. I have courses and such. But once you're not on a hormonal birth control that's impacting your ovulation, it's important for you to know when it is that you are ovulating and if you are in fact ovulating. There's different ways to do this. You can track your temperature. You can track your cervix height and cervical mucus. There's really fancy devices now, like Oura rings and other things that you can wear or, you know, use in and around your body to check all of these things. But we need to do something to track and make sure that you are ovulating and that you are ovulating consistently. So if you're like, well, I don't even know how to do that, I teach you how to do this in my fertility formula program. But regardless, we as women should have a very good pulse on, yes, I'm ovulating. If I go to you and say, hey, you want to have a baby? Great. Are you ovulating? And about when do you ovulate? How long are your cycles consistently? If you can tell me that, that's excellent. If you're like, what are you talking about? Like, I don't even know when I can get pregnant. This is something that you should invest time in learning. It's not that hard, But it's very important, because you need to know, first and foremost, if you're even ovulating. If you're not ovulating, you can't get pregnant naturally.
Yep.
So you need to make sure that that's the case. And you need to know if you're ovulating consistently and you know, on a routine basis. Because if you're not, that's a big indication that there's something going on with your hormones. And if you're having sex, let's say mid-cycle, just assuming you're going to get pregnant and you don't, you know, ovulate consistently, then you're going to keep missing the mark. And it sounds crazy, but people can try for over a year and they're just literally having sex at the wrong time because they don't know when their ovulation is. So this is a very easy, simple thing. And I'm not a fan of, once you find out when your ovulation is, to hyper focus on it, you know, to the point where you're so stressed because, you know, you're freaking out and you have to have sex at this time and like you're tracking everything. Get a general sense, track it for, you know, 3 months, kind of get a sense of like, yeah, I ovulate around, you know, day 15 sort of seems to be the time. And then once you're ready to start trying, just have sex every other day, you know, the week before-ish, that time. And that's great. If you want to, you know, pinpoint exactly when you're having sex, that can work too. But I have a lot of people that I know who don't even know when they ovulate. And so that's a key part of it, not only for knowing when to have sex, but also to identify if there's a problem.
And then you can not, you know, necessarily go back on birth control again as well. If in the future, after you've had a baby or a couple of babies and you want to do some sort of an alternative, especially if birth control didn't treat you all that well, having this knowledge is such an empowering thing. We should all know this about our bodies. We're not taught it. So no shame to you for not knowing it. I mean, we didn't learn it until like medical school.
Right.
It's crazy. I know. And it's just really not that difficult. It seems crazy. You look at the charts, you're like, what am I looking at? There's all these roller coaster hills up and down and colored lines and stuff. And it's like, all right, let me like back it up and explain it to you. And I promise you can figure it out. It's not that hard, really. Mm-hmm. Also, just another thing I want to note, because I was asked this week from a client, was, you know, if your LH is surging, so say you're doing like LH strips, mm-hmm. when should you be having sex? And what it made me realize, to your note about people timing it incorrectly, is that if I can just give one little tidbit takeaway, you need to be having sex before you ovulate, mm-hmm. not the day of, because it's only like a 24-hour, maybe to 48-hour window that the egg is even alive. You need to have a bunch of sperm packed up and in there in your fallopian tubes. It takes time for the sperm to get up into your fallopian tubes, not like a ton, but, and it can live up to 5 days. So ideally, let's just say if you ovulate on day 12, maybe you have a shorter cycle. So that's like me. And if you, so, okay, that's an example. If you were like me and you thought that you ovulated on day 14 and you only had sex on day 14, you would have missed it completely. Mm-hmm. But I ovulate pretty much, I stop bleeding and like 3 days goes by and then I ovulate. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. And so I have to have sex in order to get pregnant right after my cycle. Mm-hmm. So you would want to be having a couple of times, a couple of doses.
Sperm doses.
Yes, sperm doses. Before. And that's your best chance of getting pregnant. To have sex the day of pregnancy or of ovulation, the research shows, is much less effective. Yes, you can conceive, but it's not as effective. So I just wanted to say that.
Yes, exactly. And that's why I like tracking your cycle as long as you can before conception, because you start to learn those trends so that you don't necessarily have to wait for the LH to be positive and then you go have sex. You know, like you do, is, wow, I tend to ovulate, you know, around day 18, for example. I have a patient who ovulates around day 18 and everyone thinks just day 14, but they're day 18. And, you know, it's different for every person. It should be mid-cycle sometime-ish, but it could range from day 12 to day 20. It just depends. And so that's important. And yes, I'm so glad that you mentioned that, of having sex beforehand, and that's going to be your best bet. So It isn't challenging once you learn it, but it does take a little bit of knowledge to know. If you're feeling overwhelmed, like I said, I teach you how to do all of this in the fertility formula. And I think it's one of the most powerful things that you can learn. And I think that we as women in our generation, now that we know this, have an amazing ability to empower our daughters, if we have daughters, with this information much sooner. So don't just learn it for you, learn it to teach, you know, your daughters, your nieces, whoever, because I think it's one of the most powerful pieces of information that we should learn as women. And it does blow my mind that we don't learn it. It's just, it makes me sick. Yep. It's just
fully agree.
Part of our lives. It's like happening to us every day and we have no idea.
Did you know that 97% of women in the US take a prenatal supplement, yet 95% or more are still deficient in key nutrients? My favorite prenatal is from a company called Needed, because they dose nutrients at levels to not just meet the bare minimum as most prenatals do. They actually use forms of nutrients in dosages that allow mama and baby to thrive. Needed actually approached me years ago and asked me if I could help them design the perfect prenatal, because they knew that the current prenatals available were not actually helping women. I agreed. We spent over 3 years diving into the research and understanding what practitioners are seeing and what women actually need at this important season before we formulated this amazingly supportive option. It's no wonder over 4,000 practitioners now recommend Needed, something I am very proud of. If you have been following me for a while, you know that prenatals and optimizing nutrients starts long before pregnancy. So no matter where you are along your fertility or motherhood journey, Needed is the brand I recommend. Head to thisisneeded.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 20% on your first order.
Okay, so tip number four. So I have six tips because I started with five, but this one I have to throw in there because if you were really sitting in front of me and asked me, I would say this. I understand it's not practical and something you can go out and do, you know, tomorrow, every single one of you, but I am a fan of testing your hormones and some key lab markers in general. And if you don't have the ability or the funds at this time, I get that. A lot of people don't think that they need a test because there's not a problem. But I strongly encourage you, if you have the ability, to put some money aside to do testing. And the list of labs that I recommend testing, again, I go through all of this in the fertility formula. I go through what to look for and why. And you can do testing through Womanhood Wellness, my company. So you don't even have to go to a doctor if that's the obstacle, because sometimes doctors don't want to run everything. You can ask your doctor for that list of labs if you have a good relationship with them. But I just think it's important and powerful to get a pulse on what's going on with your health. For example, let's say you do the hormone and fertility panel that I have, and it comes back with high insulin, which is a marker of some blood sugar dysregulation, and you have high testosterone and high DHEA. All of a sudden, I'm thinking, which I teach you this in the fertility formula, you might want to go get checked out to make sure you don't have PCOS. And you might want to make sure that you are ovulating consistently, because those are classic signs that you might have something called PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome. It's the number one cause of infertility in women. And contrary to what conventional medicine thinks or believes, you can get pregnant with PCOS, and there's so much that you can do with diet and lifestyle to reverse or support it. Yet those things take time. So don't wait to try for 12 months, then do testing to find out you have PCOS. And then they're like, well, I don't know. And they try to shuttle you to IVF. Let's say you're 3, 4, 5, 6 months before you're starting to conceive and you find this, you could change that to the point where you might conceive easily on your own by the time you're ready to conceive. So there's so much value that comes with understanding what's going on with your body, because you can do so much to support you. And inside of the fertility formula, I teach you every single hormone, if it's low or if it's high, what that means, and exactly what to do with diet, lifestyle, and supplements to rebalance it. So you have a lot of tools in the fertility formula to really help you with that. And so you're not just doing this test blindly and being like, what do I do with this? There's just so much support that you can do. So I know not everyone wants to do testing, but the excuse of I don't have the ability to do testing and access outside of a financial perspective, you have the ability through Womanhood Wellness, through the fertility formula. And, you know, it's not that much. I think a panel is like $250, I believe. Don't quote me on that exactly, but I think it's good money well spent if you can, because it could potentially save you from a very expensive infertility journey down the road.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say, is that really in the end, if we're talking about expenses here, there's so much less money involved in finding out and fixing on an early end than going down the medically managed reproductive technologies route. Also,
absolutely,
there is health impacts that things like PCOS have on you for your rest of your life. So you may discover something that you can optimize and have a healthier rest of your life in general. So,
yeah,
you know, like it's not just to get pregnant. I mean, pregnancy and being able to get pregnant is a sign of health for sure. And so fixing things maybe, or like a lot of women just don't even know that if they just think, oh, well, I have heavy, awful, crampy, clotty, horrible, crazy periods. And it just is the way that it is. And every woman in my family had this. And I almost pass out when I get my cycle and I have to cancel work. And it just is the way that it is. And like, and it's like, whoa. Yeah. Whoa, okay. We don't have to live like this. This is, it's kind of like what I say with the postpartum women, you know, you don't have to leak every time you cough and sneeze. Like that is not, there's things we can do to help and fix this. It doesn't have to be your new normal. And so sometimes on some of these lab findings, you can find that, oh, there's some ways where you can feel better and have less symptoms. It just takes a little bit of work and some digging, but man, what a gift to be able to do that. And then also now go on to carry naturally and avoid mm-hmm. all of the pain, heartache, cost, you know?
Yeah. And it improving your health improves your children's health.
Yes.
And I just really want to reiterate that let's say you do labs and find out a hormonal imbalance. That's a symptom that there's something else underlying. Let's say you find high insulin or high blood sugar. That's a sign that you have some metabolic stuff that you could correct with diet and lifestyle that will change the health outcomes of your children. So this is a very important thing to do that I feel is well worth the time and investment. And as soon as anyone has an inkling in their eye of wanting to conceive or just be a person with health in general, I do recommend getting this pulse that's very comprehensive. So I teach all about it, exactly how and when to do it in the fertility formula, like I said, if you're feeling overwhelmed. So definitely check that out. Again, womanhoodwellness.com/fertility formula. So tip number 5 is along similar lines, which is to have your partner do a semen analysis. And if you follow me, you know that I talk about this all the time, or I feel like I do, maybe because I'm interviewed for it on podcasts all the time. But if you're not following all my podcasts, I cannot reiterate enough the importance of the male partner in fertility and how much they are neglected and how that just causes heartache and it wastes time and it causes delays of all sorts of things. And there's nothing good that comes from it, in my opinion. Yep. There is only good that comes from checking your male's partner's sperm as soon as possible. Because if everything's good, which is the excuse I hear a lot from men, is I don't think anything's wrong with me. I don't have any symptoms that would show that I have an issue. And I get that, but sperm issues don't necessarily show up as symptoms. They can. Like, you could wake up with issues with an erection, you could have libido issues, you could have energy issues or drive issues, but not all men do. And you could still have a severe sperm problem or even just a suboptimal one. And the sooner we know that, the sooner we can either investigate further or make changes to improve outcomes so that by the time you're ready to conceive, you're ready to go. Or if you've already started trying to conceive, it's just that much sooner to having a healthy baby versus, again, trying for 12 months before you do a semen analysis, then find out there's a problem, or go through a miscarriage and then test and then find out there's a problem. And you're like, if only I had done this 6-12 months ago. Just don't wait. It's the number one thing. I just wish everyone would just do this. I mean, if I had all the money in the world, I think I would gift it to every person who's like, you know, just trying to get together. You'd get a semen analysis and a prenatal and, you know, a lab test, and be like, our whole world would be better. It would nip our infertility pandemic and epidemic in the bud. I really do believe that early testing and prevention and changing things. So you can do.
We know too, that if you find something in your partner's sperm analysis, you're going to have to work on it for like 3 months. So
yep.
Why, like, to delay it even further or to wait again, like you said, until you have a miscarriage or maybe a couple of miscarriages. And the early miscarriages are more often a chromosomal thing, which there's, like, you know, many different reasons. We don't exactly always know why miscarriages happen, but that early, early window does lean more towards the chromosomal abnormality that's coming from sperm. So it's like, if that keeps happening, mm-hmm. it would behoove you to look into this because there's things that he can be doing. Sperm are thankfully on the easier end to change. But they also then, as a double-edged sword, are very affected. They're sensitive mm-hmm. to environmental toxins, to stress, to heat, to everything. You know, they're mm-hmm. like little, just, they're barely alive. They're just like these fragile little pockets of DNA. But we can optimize them pretty effectively once we know what we need to do. But mm-hmm. if you don't know and you're just spinning your wheels or you're blaming yourself as the woman, which is so very classic in our society, it's very patriarchal actually to completely mm-hmm. ignore the 50% equation that goes into making a baby and put all of the blame and stress on us. Oh, she yep. lost the baby again. And, you know, all of the words mm-hmm. that we use around it are just so infuriating. So I'm with you on this.
Tip number 6 is to start evaluating your products and your home and switching to low tox alternatives. Now, If you've been following us again, we talk a lot about the effect of toxins on fertility, on both male and female fertility, and the impact that those toxins have on the developing baby when you're pregnant and your babies once they're born. So it is a great use of your time to start to shift some of the things that we're exposed to all of the time. And this can feel very overwhelming for people. Again, this is why I created the fertility formula. You know, I wanted to be able to give you guys the information, the why behind what I'm recommending, as well as practical steps of what you actually do. I'm a clinician. I see patients. I know what to tell people to actually do. You know, it's not all theory. And so I understand that this is one of the most overwhelming parts of the whole fertility journey, and people can get really like wigged out by it. And so in that fertility formula, I dive into this and give really, really practical tips and steps. But you can make simple changes. The first step I recommend people make is switching out your laundry detergent for something that does not have fragrance, because the fragrance in our products, when it actually says the word fragrance, that contains phthalates, which are very harmful for both female and male fertility and our growing babies. And when we wash our clothes in laundry detergent, the fragrance is on every single piece of clothing that we wear and are breathing in all day long. So it's a very simple but powerful switch. And then also changing your shampoo, conditioner, body wash in the shower. It's another thing that we do every day. Most of us kind of shower every day, or at least once in a while a week.
I mean, and
you're like, I don't. You know, at least a few times a week, maybe.
Yes.
That you're exposed to that. And when you're in a shower, if you're taking hot showers, the steam makes it even more. It absorbs into your body. You inhale it even more. So when you have all of these fragrancy toxic products in the shower, it's like taking, we do steam inhalations with herbs and essential oils as medicine. It is an actual route to get medicine into the body quicker, faster, and easier with steam. So when you're showering with all of these toxins, they get into the body quicker, faster, and easier. So we want to be really mindful of these kind of key points. So if someone said, what do I do this week? Those are the things that I would change. There's obviously so many other things. And in the fertility formula, I actually break down how to do the swaps. I call them the low-tox swaps, by setting a budget and understanding where to go through, you know, room by room. And I give you an actual list. So you don't even have to think about it. You literally say, this is the list for this month. I'm changing these four things. And then I show with you some of my favorite products for those things. It's very laid out so that you can avoid overwhelm, and you can do it based on whatever your budget is. And any product that you switch is going to be a positive, right? So anything that you can do is going to be great. But that's a big part of not only supporting your fertility and your partner's fertility, but now you've created a much safer home for your pregnancy and for your kiddos as they develop and grow up when they're older. So these are all very important, powerful practices, not only for fertility, but for the longevity of your family. All of these are well worth your time, I believe.
Yeah, it's something that you're going to learn and hopefully not go back to. It's not like, mm-hmm. Oh, this is a temporary thing and then you can go back to your Axe body spray and whatever. Right. I don't know if anybody uses that anymore anyway, but
they definitely do. You would be surprised.
Oh, it is. I'm like scarred from junior high. But anyway, yeah, this is what we mean, or what people mean, when they say environmental toxins, like mm-hmm. the sperm epidemic. Why is it so bad? What is happening? Oh, well, it's environmental toxins. Oh, autism or cancer rates or all of this chronic disease. You know, you're so much more likely to have a chronic disease now than if you were just born a couple of decades prior. And what are contributing to that? And it's like, yes, partially it's the herbicides, pesticides sprayed on the food. But a lot of it, and I remember learning this in school and being so blown away, is that the indoor air is actually far more toxic than mm-hmm. outdoor air. And just with living in buildings and furniture and all the different things. So like what you're saying, it's like, don't get super overwhelmed by it, but know that this is one of those areas that we can control. And mm-hmm. some of the brands are really affordable. Also, you can just mm-hmm. make a lot of cleaners and things with vinegar and water.
No.
It doesn't have to be super crazy and fancy. It's more this angle is like reducing a burden. This one is stopping an exposure. It's not something that you're doing to create health in a, like, you know, when you take a prenatal vitamin, you're giving your body all these vitamins and nutrients, or when you eat a high protein breakfast, you're giving your body things that are going to help it have health. This step seems like it wouldn't be that impactful, but it's because you're removing something that's causing disease. Mm-hmm. And it's actually so huge. It's like removing stress. It's like, if we could remove stress and toxins, what would be different in our lives?
Everything. Literally, there wouldn't be disease, I don't think. I mean, infection, stress, and toxins. I mean, that's what it boils down to in almost every situation. And it's just crazy. So yeah, this is so powerful. Don't undermine that. And so I'm just going to wrap this up for you. And I know there's six steps, but if I were going to add one precursor step, it would be, if you're thinking at all about getting pregnant, whether you're actively trying or it's in 3 months, 6 months, 2-3 years, maybe you're engaged. I love when people are like, just engaged, and I'm like, start this right now. Or they just got married or whatever. Anytime that you're thinking of, consider checking out my fertility formula, womanhoodwellness.com/fertilityformula, because I give you every single thing that you need and I walk you through it step by step. On top of that, the next thing I would say is focus on your breakfast. Get some good quality fat and protein breakfasts. Look to all of the resources that I have if you're confused or overwhelmed. And a part of Fertility Formula is my Womanhood Wellness recipe book, which has only over 150 recipes that are all whole food based, which I can help you with.
Wow, that's awesome.
So yeah, there's so many recipes there if you're feeling overwhelmed and don't know where to begin. And again, I dive deep into blood sugar and everything that's practical that you guys need to know. So step number two, take a high quality prenatal multivitamin. Obviously, Needed is my favorite. Number three, start tracking your cycle. However feels good to you. I break this down again in the fertility formula. Number four would be, consider testing your hormones and some other key markers. I have a list of what labs that I recommend doing at my website, and I go through it all in the fertility formula. Have your partner do a semen analysis. This could be with a doctor or on his own with companies like Legacy, which is one of my favorites. And then start evaluating your home and your products for alternatives to low-tox options. So if you were sitting in front of me and you asked me, what should I do? This is what I would say to get started. And I hope that that was really helpful and supportive. And again, my fertility formula is out. The cart is open, but it closes in a week on October 13th. So if you want to join, definitely get in there at womanhoodwellness.com/fertilityformula. And I hope that it's supportive for you guys.
Yeah, run, don't walk. I feel like this is one of those things that, especially for the people who are really just starting this path and they really want a lot of handholding, this is such a comprehensive, it's so many more courses. It's like, I mean, I know you and I know what you have up your sleeve with these things. You will not be disappointed.
And it's helpful for people even who are going through infertility. You know, I designed this to be super comprehensive. It's the fertility formula is 13 steps and each step is like its own mini course on a key pillar of fertility. And there's a lot of big pieces and parts in there that are very helpful and supportive. And then there will be options in the near future for anyone who owns the program to add on to support with IVF and miscarriage and all of these things. So definitely check it out now.
Or even if you're in between children and maybe you didn't know any of this stuff for your first time around, or you did need some reproductive help or whatever, yada, yada. There's a million different ways. Or maybe it's been a big gap and you're kind of like, holy crap, what am I doing? Yeah. I don't remember any of this stuff. It's just these are the types of resources where once we have this knowledge, you're an empowered person on a different sort of a level of your own health, taking care of things, knowing things, being able to pass that knowledge down to your own kids, and they're better off for it because you are healthier and your home is healthier. So anyway, I'm just really grateful that you're tackling this from so many angles, because I know that you and I both have passion here. We really want to improve the future generations and helping the women and children and the babies that haven't been born yet, I feel like is the most impactful way to do that. And there's a lot of different stuff that has to happen. And unfortunately, it seems like it's coming at us like a tidal wave of all of the stuff we're living through, where these rates are just crashing to the ground and we really need to be doing something about it. So this is a huge gift to the world. So thank you for creating it. I know you've been working on it for so long. You have so many hours and hours. I mean, not even hours added up. It would be like months of your life that you have placed into this. So
seriously, months. Yeah. And my two... My two favorite modules that I didn't even talk about or little steps, they're not little, is the stress support one, because I really break down stress. I feel like that is thrown around all the time. People are like, yeah, yeah, reduce my stress, blah, blah, I get it. And it's like, but what is it? And what do you actually do? Because I'm so annoyed with all of the recommendations. And I would get that on our fertility journey, like, you know, eat 15 servings of fruits and vegetables and reduce your stress and drink water. And you're like, what does that even mean? What yeah. are 15 servings of fruits and vegetables? And how do I actually reduce my stress? Like, that's not, give me something. What do you mean by that? And don't just tell me to meditate, because there's more to it than that. And so I really, you guys, I really went into it, and it's going to be a very, very powerful and important part of it, as well as my fertility energy step, which talks all about.
Ooh, is that the masculine feminine?
Yeah,
stuff?
The masculine feminine. And just all the things.
And, you talk about that.
You know, anyone, and like, even if you're going through IVF right now, like, if anyone could have that specific step, I think is just so powerful, whether you're just thinking about kids or you're deep and through like lots of different failures of, you know, it applies to so many different people. And so anyways, I'm excited.
Yeah, but I mean, and just those last two that you said don't only apply for this time period. These right. are skills that you learn to yes. better your life for the rest of your life. So anyway, thank you for creating it. Love you yes. so much. Love your passion and your brain. And I know it's going to change a lot of people's lives. So thank you for cool. what you do. And we will see you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Healthy as a Mother podcast. In order for others to hear this information, please leave a review with Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and send to a friend who could benefit from this content. We're so excited to share more on becoming and being a mother next time.
And please remember that the ideas and views of this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended to serve as a substitute for medical care of any kind, including the diagnosis or treatment of any illness or disease. Consult with your provider before integrating this information into your own care plan. And remember, a healthier future starts now, and it starts with you.